Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts that are offered this Easter Sunday be offered humbly and faithfully. Amen. Of course, it's Easter. This is a special Sunday. And if you're a guest or visitor here today, I would love to tell you that it's like this every Sunday of the year. But that wouldn't be the truth. Today is Easter Sunday. However, it would have been an ordinary Sunday for our congregational ancestors. It would have been an ordinary Sunday for the pilgrims. They rejected the idea of Easter. They did. They rejected Easter as a special Sunday. The resurrection was so central to their faith that the pilgrims found it completely inappropriate to celebrate Jesus' resurrection one special Sunday each year. They didn't believe that Easter should be confined by or even determined by the spring equinox, because Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. That'll be on the test at the end of the service. But no, for the early Congregationalists, Easter was never to be determined by a season or a Sunday, but Easter was to be determined by their strangely warmed hearts whenever and wherever they experienced Christ. And so the pilgrims held that Christ's resurrection was central not only to their Sunday worship, but to their everyday faith. And so they affirmed that Easter was every Sunday of the year, 52 times a year. Easter was how they ended and began every week of their lives. Well, when I think about that, perhaps it's not the worst thing in the world to imagine singing week in and week out, "Christ the Lord is risen today." But it's more than that, of course. I think that they understood, our congregational ancestors, that if Easter didn't happen, then God's love is not stronger than death. And if you believe that God's love is stronger than death, then that story is worth telling every week of the year, year after year. And so we read that story just moments ago from the Gospel of Luke. And we heard the story of how the women went to the tomb before daybreak, and they basically hear these words: "You seek Jesus, he was crucified, but as he said, he is risen." Now, there's an important detail even just in that, is that the story of Easter begins in darkness, which means it begins without hope. And there's an old saying that maybe those who are best prepared to experience Easter, those best prepared to peer into the empty tomb, are those who have faced a dark time in their lives, a time when maybe hope felt obscured. And you know as well as I do that somewhere, someone this week heard from the doctor that there was a spot on the CT scan that no one had expected. Somewhere, someone heard the words, "I'm not sure our relationship will make it." And in moments like those, Easter may be the last thing you're expecting. But maybe that's why the pilgrims celebrated Easter every Sunday of the year, because the power and the mystery of the resurrection is found when we affirm that just when you think hope has evaporated, a day of hope dawns, and you peer in, and the tomb is empty. Now, I know how some of you feel about Easter. I know that because over the last 37 years, you've said to me, "You know, Rich, I love the teachings of Jesus, but I just can't get my mind around the resurrection." Well, I get that. But rather than trying to get your mind around Easter, try this on for size. Why not let Easter get around your heart? Because Easter is a story of faith which begins with grief and despair, but ends in the light of hope. But I get it. I do. I really understand. That's a hard story to sort of get our hearts around, but take heart. It wasn't easy for the disciples either. I mean, the Easter message, the crux of what I read this morning, is startlingly brief. It's 5 verses in Luke. It's basically, he was crucified, he was placed here, the stone's been moved, he's not here now because he's been raised. 5 verses. And then the story really begins. The women, they go and tell the other disciples what they had seen and heard. And you heard in the Gospel of Luke, did you hear it? When the disciples hear the story, the news, they think it's an idle tale. What? They weren't excited, they weren't overjoyed. But let it be said that not a one of the Gospels provides an unambiguous, totally convincing account of Easter. The Gospel of Mark, the oldest of the Gospels, ends with the disciples finding out the tomb is empty, and then the last words are, and they were afraid. That's how it ended, the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Matthew at least says the disciples worshiped Jesus, but then it really acknowledges some worshiped Jesus and others doubted. The Gospel of Luke, as I said, just told us that the apostles at first thought it was an idle tale until Peter races off to the tomb and sees the burial clothes. And the Gospel of John? The Gospel of John reminds us of our old friend Doubting Thomas, who basically said he refused to believe unless he could place his hands into the wounds. Friends, even on Easter, faith is never coerced. So instead of trying to get your mind around Easter, why not let the story, which begins in darkness and ends in hope, why not let that story get around your heart? Because Easter is not only about Jesus, Easter is about you and me as well. Jesus has already claimed his new life this day, but now is your chance to claim yours. And remember, the Gospels never ask us, do you know what happened that morning? But rather, the Gospel stories continually ask us, are you willing to seek the living Christ? The Christ who is found in forgiveness, justice, and mercy. Well, you heard the section from the resurrection from the Gospel of Luke, which ends with Peter then running back and being amazed. And the very next verse, if I were to keep having read from the Gospel of Luke, the very next verse is the story of the disciples walking to the village of Emmaus. It happens the very afternoon of the resurrection. You may remember the story. 2 disciples are on their way to that village called Emmaus when Jesus approaches them on the road. But the disciples don't recognize him. The stranger seems unaware of all that has taken place in Jerusalem, the crucifixion, the empty tomb, the appearance of Mary, the risen Christ to Mary and the other women, seems to know nothing of it. But when the disciples arrive at the inn at Emmaus, they invite the stranger in to eat with them. And it's in that simple gesture of kindness and hospitality that when the bread is brought, the stranger is revealed to be the Christ. And then he's gone. Huh. I know. It's kind of weird. It's not rational. But rather than trying to sort of sidestep the transcendence, rather than trivializing the story by explaining it, Let us instead consider living our lives and living the truth in the walk to Emmaus. Let us affirm that the risen Christ can still be met any day in hospitality to the stranger or friend. Now, here is something at least surprising to me, but I also think profoundly hopeful about that story. Not surprisingly, scholars for generations have researched and tried to figure out the location of Emmaus. But no ancient map anywhere shows where Emmaus was located. In fact, outside of that story, there's no written record that even acknowledges a village called Emmaus, which I tell you, friends, is incredibly good news, because it means that Emmaus is everywhere, which means every path you are walking, every road you are traveling is leading you to Emmaus, because Emmaus is where you meet God's love, and Emmaus is anywhere you are going this day. In the end, the transformative power of this day, whether we celebrate it once a year or if it begins every week of your life as it did for the pilgrims, the power of this day will never be found in trying to answer the question, do you know what happened to that first Easter? No, the power of the story to transform our lives is discovered in affirming that Jesus loves and lives still. So let us try to get our hearts around that. One writer said, I cannot tell you what I think I would have seen if I'd been there myself that day, but I can tell you this, that what I believe happened and what in faith and great joy I proclaim to you is that somehow Jesus got up with life in him again. I was not there to see it any more than I was awake to see the sun rise this morning. But I affirm Easter as surely as I affirm that by God's grace, the sun did rise this morning because our world is flooded with light and because hope is born again. And may you meet him on the road to wherever you are heading this day and tomorrow. May it be so. And alleluia, he is risen indeed.